Ruby is 16. She's almost totally paralysed.
Well, the only limb that works is this one, my left arm. I still go out and like see friends and stuff. It's just more the pain and the fatigue that's harder.
Nobody knows exactly why Ruby has developed this serious neurological damage after a healthy and active life. But it all started after she had her first of three injections of the HPV, human papillomavirus vaccine. Injections that are given in the hope that they'll prevent cervical cancer. But is there proof that the HPV vaccine does prevent cervical cancer? And is there any proof that HPV actually causes it? These girls have died. They're among hundreds of documented deaths following the HPV vaccine. Thousands around the world have suffered severe adverse reactions to the injection. Throughout history, virgins have been sacrificed in the interests of the greater good. The Greeks sacrificed young girls to appease their gods. The Incas of Peru drugged and buried young girls in the farthest corners of their empire in the belief that this would protect their territories from invaders. These young girls are our modern sacrificial virgins, sacrificed in the interests of the greater good. But why are perfectly healthy young girls being vaccinated at all? The official incidence of adverse reactions in the UK from the HPV vaccine is the highest of any existing vaccine. And now we have a rollout across the world of a vaccination often provided free through schools and health authorities that was fast-tracked and has not been through long-term toxicity testing. We travel to Austria's capital, Vienna. Dr. Christian Fiala, specialist in obstetrics and gynaecology, is the joint author of a science article that questions the need for the HPV vaccine.
No one has shown that the HPV vaccine actually reduces the rate of cervical cancer. But on the side effect side, it is clear that we have seen a huge number of serious, really terrible side effects, like young girls being paralyzed and actually condemned to death.
Leading molecular biologist at Berkeley, California, Professor Peter Duesberg, is also an author of the paper Challenging the Use of Vaccines to Prevent Cervical Cancer. He states that HPV doesn't replicate in cervical cancer cells. Is he saying HPV isn't there at all?
I'm saying it's like these are fossils of HPV, which are still in some cells. They are from an infection decades prior to the cancer, when people get first infected in their 20s. And they sometimes cause a wart. And these viruses, once the immune system knocks them out, leave behind fossils of their own DNA in the cells where they replicate.
So in a nutshell, is there a causal relationship between HPV and cervical cancer?
Absolutely not, no. If the microbe isn't there in every case, then it's what's called a passenger virus, something that happens to be there and has plays no role.
As long as we have no proof that cervical cancer is caused by HPV, as long as we only have an association, it is fundamentally useless to vaccinate against HPV because the chances are it is not caused, the cervical cancer is not caused by HPV, in which case the cancer will occur whether there is HPV or not.
It was Dr. Fiala who first alerted his colleagues to the death of a 19-year-old girl in Vienna, Yasmin Soriat, after her second HPV injection.
I think it was half a year or so, or a year after the rollout, there were rumors of a death case. And I thought, if there is a death case already after such a short period, we really need to investigate that, because it could indicate that there is much more to come, and in which case we should really do everything to stop that as early as we could.
Yasmin's father told us his daughter used to come running here regularly, and that she was here the night before she died in her sleep of respiratory failure. She'd been suffering neurological symptoms for a while before.
I contacted a neurologist and asked him, listen, there is a very strange story here. We have a girl 3 weeks after vaccination, she had some neurological symptoms, and then shortly after she died from central nervous apnea. And he said, well, that lies within the typical time range we see after vaccination, which is about 2 to 6 weeks.
We contacted the government forensic pathologist, Dr. Johan Misliwetz, who was ordered by the court to do a second autopsy because the first couldn't establish a cause of death. Dr. Misliwetz has taken early retirement and lives on the outskirts of Vienna.
We first did toxicology and blood alcohol, which all was negative. So I also couldn't find a reasonable cause of death, but I had two suspicions. One is it's a genetic disorder of the heart, and the other one, it had to do with vaccination of the young girl.
When Dr. Misliwetz reported his findings to the drug regulatory authorities, he received many phone calls from senior members of the medical establishment in Austria.
Well, there was a lot of interventions. Many professors called me up, phoned me and said I should stop talk about vaccination deaths. I've been done thousands of autopsies, but nobody called me and nobody phoned me. This was extraordinary.
How did it make you feel?
Well, I wrote what I wrote, and it was my business, not theirs. But I was a little bit fed up.
Does Dr. Misliwetz think the HPV vaccine should continue to be rolled out across the world?
I think I don't know enough about it to make a decision between risk and benefit. That's what I would say. But my daughter asked me, and I asked her, if she wanted a vaccination against HPV. She's a pharmacologist, and she said no.
Back to Professor Duisberg and his challenge to the science behind HPV. You've spoken in the past about how the body deals with human papillomavirus. Can you explain that? Is it just part of our dirty baggage, and do we just deal with it and then it goes away?
Typically, yes, we have done that for several hundred millions of years. We had wart virus infections, developed warts, the warts got away, and without any vaccine, we have lived millions of years that way.
What would you like to see happen about the HPV vaccine?
Yeah, of course, it should be stopped until they have proof that it protects against cancer. I mean, considering not only the cost, but the enormous, the highest side effects ever of any vaccine, they say in the US, by far the highest, more than all other vaccines combined, have less adverse effects than this one.
Someone who's campaigned tirelessly on these issues is Frieda Birrell. She heads the UK pressure group AHVID, the Association for HPV Vaccine Injured Daughters.
I feel the campaign is growing, and it's grown quite extensively over this last year. And the reason behind that is we are starting to get great publicity. I'd like to see our politicians listen. I'd like to see them recognize that this cannot be a coincidence, that this is a life of a child that has been destroyed. They have lost education. And who out there is caring? They don't care.
Ruby and Chloe represent thousands of girls around the world who've been injured by the HPV vaccine. A vaccine that carries the highest risk of a serious adverse reaction of any existing vaccination. Most vaccinations, including the HPV vaccine, contain aluminium adjuvants. An adjuvant is an ingredient of a vaccine that helps create a stronger immune response in the patient's body. Certain types of aluminium have been used as adjuvants for nearly 90 years. We asked internationally renowned authority on aluminium toxicity, Professor Christopher Exley, if he thought aluminium could accumulate in the body to dangerous levels.
We know that aluminium is toxic. We know that aluminium is neurotoxic. So yes, if aluminium accumulates in the body towards what we might call a toxic threshold, you will get toxicity, and that could be anywhere in the body.
Ruby was a lively, active teenager until she had her first HPV injection.
After my second injection, I fainted and I went snow white, and I experienced troubles eating. I could only eat a small portion and it would hurt when I was eating. And then after the third injection, I experienced chronic pain in my stomach, in my chest and in my back, and also chronic fatigue and nausea.
Chloe had her first injection when she was 12.
I was a very healthy 12-year-old. I did everything what a preteen girl would do. I'd go to the cinema, I'd skate, I'd go rollerblading. I literally took every opportunity on, like I was dancing constantly, like 6 days a week. Yeah, I started to become ill after the second injection, and that was around January 2011. It started off with joint pain, muscle pain, bone pain, relentless fatigue, which would not go away without sleeping.
Chloe's condition has gradually worsened, as her mother Sophie explains.
She can't eat anything at all. She can't even swallow. She can't even drink. She's fed through one of her tubes, and she's relying on 22 to 24 hours fluid through her central line.
Is it possible that aluminium in the HPV vaccine could cause such severe neurological damage?
The worry is that the use of aluminium adjuvants can and does result almost certainly in toxicity away from the injection site.
Chris Exley goes on to explain that immune reactive cells are attracted to the injection site, can load up with aluminium from the vaccine and travel around the body.
And there's very good evidence to suggest that these cells, when they're loaded up with aluminium, can actually pass into the brain.
Why is this particular vaccination causing a much higher number of adverse reactions when compared with others? Exley explains that he has some concerns about the aluminium content in both of the HPV vaccinations. Gardasil, manufactured by Merck & Co., and Cervarix, manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline. Cervarix contains a commonly used aluminium adjuvant called aluminium hydroxide.
But there is a second adjuvant included in Cervarix, which is essentially a lipid. And so these two work together as the adjuvant in this particular HPV vaccine. All of the safety trials for Cervarix did not use the mixture of aluminium hydroxide and the lipid in their trials. They chose simply also to only use the aluminium hydroxide only. So that's one thing that in itself you begin to ask unusual questions about why that was the case. You also have to ask the question, why in the other major HPV vaccine, Gardasil, why have they used a completely new adjuvant, aluminium adjuvant, one which has essentially not been used before?
And there is another concern. Why was aluminium added to the placebo group, that's the non-vaccine group, in the comparative trials?
This is clearly crazy. This is clearly something which has been designed to remove the direct effects of the adjuvant on the individual receiving the vaccine. Now, if you decide to simply include that as your control, then all of those adverse events will be subtracted essentially from any adverse events that the vaccine, whole vaccine, gives you, and so the whole vaccine looks safe.
Other experts, like Dr. Christian Fiala, agree that adding aluminium adjuvant to the placebo group will bias the results.
So when you compare the side effects, you can't really tell there is a difference, because even the group you wrongly claim to be a placebo group received all the adjuvants and all the other substances that were in the vaccine group. And so if you compare the side effects, you can come to the conclusion that there was not much difference. But the difference is not because the vaccine group had few side effects. It's because the so-called, wrongly called placebo group had the same side effects as the vaccine group. And this is what basically would be called cheating. In scientific terms, it's called biased.
With mounting evidence of injury from the HPV vaccine, why are young girls repeatedly being told that their problems are psychosomatic, all in the head, and given psychiatric diagnoses?
I went to one Amy, and the doctor took me to the side and said to me, teenagers are different species, they're from a different planet, their pain is not real. Just take her home, send her to school tomorrow and everything will be fine. And I said to her, no, excuse me, this is my daughter, I know what my daughter's like, and my daughter is in agony at the moment.
Nobody ever knew what was wrong. We all had, you have to, it's all in your head, it's all make-believe, you've got to just get over it and get on with it, basically. But she kept getting worse, and we did get on with it. We'd never get over it.
Most doctors won't even consider that it would be the injection. But two doctors have said that the injection has caused this with me, but they won't write it down, so it won't be in my records.
If you know that family, I know the child and I've known them for years, I know their medical history, why would you suddenly point the finger and label that child with having a mental health disorder when there's no history of it in her medical records? That is the problem.
There was a time where I did die, but I came back to life and I was ready. I knew that moment I was ready to carry on. I needed to let the world know what truly happened, and that's why I'm here today.
In part three, we explore the legal situation in the UK, Japan, Australia, Spain, Colombia, and the USA. Stephen Tunley in Australia is a director of the international pressure group SaneVax.
We're a single issue organisation. We wish to get Gardasil off the market, but we use the science and open people's eyes to the correct interpretation of that science, which by any reasonable standards would lead you to conclude, A, the vaccine has no role to play, and B, those that have promoted it have a very real responsibility for the damage they've caused.
Kristin Clulow is 33 and lives in Newcastle, Australia, where she's a full-time high school teacher. Before her first HPV injection in 2008, she was lively and energetic. It was after her second injection that things began to go wrong.
It all started probably about 4 to 6 weeks after the second one, and it was my walking I noticed first. So I couldn't wear stilettos or high heels. Then probably a week later, my handwriting started to go. When I was at my worst, it was horrible. I remember the neurologist coming into my hospital bed and saying, "Here's what's happened. Part of your brain has died. We don't know what's going to happen." And at that point, to me, it was sink or swim. There was a chance I could die. No one knew what the odds were. And at that point, I was like, as long as I have breath in me, I will fight this.
Kristen has fought hard and made a remarkable recovery. She's one of thousands of victims suffering side effects from the HPV vaccine. These are the World Health Organization's figures for adverse reactions to the HPV vaccine in 100 countries. 167,900 adverse reactions in 72,921 reports, including at least 280 deaths. Eminent neurologist in Japan, Dr. Hirokuni Beppu, has extensive experience of drug injury. He founded the independent drug bulletin, The Informed Prescriber. Is it easy for some of these serious reactions to be missed in the sense that they don't figure statistically?
It is very difficult to find those people who are susceptible to autoimmune disease because they are very rare in general population. And usual statistical methodology, it's difficult to prove there are some difference in the occurrence of such disease. So they say it has no relationship with vaccination.
Are victims of the HPV vaccine suing through the courts in Japan?
Yes. And now, at present, about 120 persons, nearly 120 persons, making lawsuit against pharmaceutical company. It is now going on in 8 cities in Japan. And other additional people are also thinking about to start. Mm-hmm.
Does Dr. Beppu think the HPV vaccine is useful at all?
No, not useful. HPV vaccine is useless because it has a very low risk-benefit balance. And we cannot differentiate those people who have risk to this vaccine.
A key issue which could be important in any future litigation involved in the campaign to highlight the plight of HPV victims is informed consent.
The parents at time of consent get a little information leaflet which says that the vaccine is safe and effective and the side effects are quite mild. What they do not get to see is the patient information leaflet which is in the vaccine box. And they state they cannot give this out. They may give it to the child at the time of vaccination, or they may not. So the mother and father do not get to see that there's many more serious side effects identified.
Gardasil here, I think, comes in a pack of 10 vials, but there's only one prescribing leaflet. So if Mr. and Mrs. Smith come in and say, "Show me the information," which very rarely happens, they get the one leaflet, and the next 9 people see nothing. I see parents in supermarkets studying more carefully the back of a box of cornflakes than ever consider what in goodness sakes they're putting into their child's body through this particular vaccination.
The fight for compensation for injury from the HPV vaccine is going on around the world. Alicia Capilla in Valencia is president of a pressure group in Spain called AAVP. There are over 1,145 reported cases of HPV vaccine damage in Spain, with 3,500 notifications of adverse reactions and 6 suspected deaths. A recent breakthrough judgment in Asturias in February 2017 acknowledged a causal link between the HPV vaccine and the death of a young girl, Andrea, in 2012. In March 2017, the US legal pressure group Judicial Watch denounced on its website the fact that certain minors can receive the HPV injection without parental consent. In Colombia, the voices of protest are becoming louder.
Argentina, tengo 13 años, soy de la ciudad de Medellín. Hace 2 años mi vida transcurría normalmente, estudiaba, tenía un grupo de amigas. Siempre que me gustaba ser la líder, me encantaba estar como representante del grupo. Estaba en clase de teatro. En mayo me aplicaron la vacuna al papiloma humano.
What is your ultimate aim?
There are 3 things. I'd like to see more parents informed. That's the most important thing, where people actually take a responsibility for what on earth they put into their child's body. And it is children we're talking about. You know, why in goodness sakes would you put this vaccine into a 9-year-old girl when her chance of getting cervical cancer at the average age of 52 or 53 is so low that she's just as likely to be damaged by hitting her head falling off the back of a chair, quite frankly. And the third thing is, I would really like to see compensation and help for the girls that have been damaged. Do I ever believe sincerely that you'll ever get any money out of the pharmaceutical industry? Probably not. I think you can probably sue the GPs for failure to provide informed consent. And you know, the fact is, I don't care what your excuse is that you didn't understand this. You have a duty of care to your patient. And the fact that you didn't read that prescribing information or understand more about it, and you've given it to a child who has a genetic predisposition to an autoimmune disorder, and it then subsequently triggers autoimmune disorder type symptoms, you have, I think, a liability. And I suspect at some stage there'll be a test case over that.
What is your message to the manufacturers of the HPV vaccine and those responsible for rolling the vaccine out both nationally and internationally?
I would like to say to them that what they are doing is unethical. They need to research their product. They need to take it off the market and research it. Because what they are doing is hurting people. And it's not just, you know, a headache or a sore arm. This is a permanent brain injury that I've had to live with for 9 years.
Your recovery is an inspiration. What is your message to other girls who've been damaged?
My advice is stay positive. I see a lot of people that they get this, they get sick, they think there's no hope, and they're very negative about the world. I think channel that negative energy into something positive. You can get better. I'm proof of that. Surround yourself with good people and just never give up.